comfortable with for in respect to COVID. Gives me great pleasure this morning to welcome Miriam Moule to lead our worship. Miriam is the minister at Cowley Road and a chaplain at Oxford Brookes University. It's lovely to see you back, Miriam, back in the circuit after your sabbatical, and we look forward to sharing with you this morning.
Friends, good morning. It's lovely to be with you. Just making sure everyone can hear me. If anyone can wave, if you can't, marvellous. Just testing, folks. We'll just spend a moment or two in quiet as we prepare to share in worship. Let's just hold this quiet for a moment. So let us pray. Friends, we have come to worship God, our living God, who calls prophets and disciples to bear witness. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God, who answers the forces of hatred and hurt with the power of grace. We have come to worship God, our all-gracious God, who chooses us to receive and carry the word of life and hope. All glory to God as we worship. In the name of Christ, amen. Friends, we come to our first hymn. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 110 in Singing the Faith. The words have magically appeared behind me. They may be words that you might not recognise, but hopefully it is a tune that you will know well. We stand as we are able to sing together in the wonder of creation.
Thank you.
Please do be seated. Friends, we come to our opening prayers. And we're going to have a prayer of adoration, followed by a prayer of confession. I'll give a little introduction to the prayer of confession as I have a little prop for us to help illustrate that. So let's just be still and quiet for a moment as we prepare to offer our prayers to God. Holy God, you are creator, redeemer, and sustainer, life and love and hope. In the beginning, your spirit moved over the waters, and in your love, you created all that is. In the creative cover of darkness, you formed your creation until the time where light burst forth, illuminating the beauty and vibrancy and wonder of all that you have made. Ever creating God, meet afresh with us as we come to worship. God of transformation, in love you sent your Son to live among your people, to enter the frailty of human flesh, turning the world upside down, taking risks to share the radical good news of your love, of forgiveness, of abundance, and the possibility of life in all its fullness. In befriending the wrong sort of people and powerfully proclaiming your message, Jesus demonstrated the depth and breadth of your great love, love that bore nails hammered through flesh and bone, love bearing agonizing pain, love rejected, betrayed, and abandoned, yet love that was too strong to be bound and held by death. We give you thanks and praise for all that Jesus came to share. Holy Spirit of God, love and laughter, creativity, dance, music, and song, you call us continually into relationship with you and each other. Enliven us to look for signs of you at work all around us. Help us to build those relationships with each other, that we might learn, grow, and work together to share your all-embracing love throughout the world. We thank you that in our beginnings and endings, our endings and our beginnings are held, that you are the first and the last, the one in whom our hopes and fears, our joys and our sorrows come home. In the name of Christ, we offer these prayers. Amen. Friends, just before our prayer of confession, I see we have some young people. There are young people everywhere in the congregation. But there are some even younger people over here. It's wonderful to see you. In a moment, we're going to offer a prayer of confession before God. And I'm going to invite us to think just for a moment or two about something we might want to say sorry for, whether that's something we might have said if we were cross or if someone annoyed us, something perhaps we might have done that we wish we hadn't, or something that we wish we had done but we didn't. So for a moment or two, I'm going to ask us to think about that. But before I do so, I just want to offer an image. When I was teaching and we had some issues with behavior in class, I used to ask some of our young people to write on a piece of paper what it was they wanted to say sorry for. And then we'd either put it in a box or I would use this little trick. So you write on this piece of paper, you pop it in the water, you give it a shake, and it disappears. So, I'll tell you the trick later if you haven't already worked it out. But so for a moment, as we think of those things that we might be sorry for, I'd like us to imagine offering those over to God, letting those things go, knowing that when we ask God to forgive us, God does. And just like that piece of paper in that water, God takes those things away from us and they are gone. So I'm going to invite us just in a moment of quiet to think. You don't need to share this with anyone. This is between you and God. And if it helps you to imagine writing it on a piece of paper and then popping it into that water, then please do. Loving God, as we have offered those things we are sorry for, we hear Christ's great promise that when we say sorry, when we offer those things before you, we will be forgiven. So may we know that we are forgiven people and live in the light and love of that forgiveness this day and all our days to come. Amen. Friends, for our all-age talk this morning, I'm also going back to my primary school teaching days, and I have one of my favourite stories, which is called Everybody's Welcome. And if folks want to come and look at the pictures later, then please do. But it is a story of some animals and a journey that they go on. So I'll read our story for us. As I say, if you want to see the pictures later, in fact, I might come over here, and then folks can see the pictures down here, and I'll practice my reading from above. In a forest clearing, there stood a little mouse, dreaming of the future in a great big happy house. Suddenly, a frog appeared with a sorry tale of woe. My pond, my home, is all dried up. I have no place to go. Froggy, please don't worry. You can stick with me. Everything will be all right. Just you wait and see. Let's build a home together. We'll make it big and strong. And once we get it started, you won't be sad for long. Everybody's welcome, no matter who they are, wherever they may come from, whether near or far. Please help us, cry the rabbits. We've had an awful scare. An eagle's chased us from our home. Do you have any room to spare? Everybody's welcome. If you need a place to hide, come and help me build this house. You'll all be safe inside. Some of us can form a chain and all work as a team. We'll build a shelter stick by stick, following our dream. Friends, you can't see the pictures. There's a frog with a chainsaw. Not sure that's a good plan, generally. I'm all alone, cries Big Brown Bear, with teardrops in his eyes. I frighten other people off because of my great size. Come along and join us, Bear. A great big chap like you is just what we've been missing. There's so much you can do. Everybody's welcome, and all can play their part. Just look at big old Bear. He's already made a start. Flapping and a fluttering, a flock of birds arrive. Someone's chopped down our tree. How will we all survive? If we all work together, no task is too great, even if some helpers arrive a little late. There's a little snail down here saying, sorry, I'm late. And the news will spread for miles around of what we are building, a home safe and sound. As the rain clouds gather in a dark and stormy sky, the animals keep building a roof to keep them dry. When our house is ready and everything's complete, we'll all live here together and life will be so sweet. Our home will be so happy. We'll fill it up with song and everybody in it will feel that they belong. And at the end, for those who can't see the pictures, there is a wonderful picture of all the animals having a party in their new home. So I'm going to come back up here for a moment because my knees won't quite cope with that for too long. So our story this morning is about making everyone welcome, about making a difference, about being friendly and welcoming. So I wonder, friends, all of us, whether we're older or younger, how do we make people feel welcome? What do we do? How do we respond to friends that we may not know yet? We often think that those small actions can't possibly make a difference, but they do. A small act of kindness or love or welcome can demonstrate the love of God to someone. I'm going to do one more thing with this jam jar for a second. It's a very useful prop, I hasten to add. When we think about doing something, we often think that we can't make a difference because we're just one person. We can't possibly make a difference. But in doing something small, often in just simply saying hello to someone or having a conversation, we can make a difference. And just by offering something small, a small act of love or of kindness, we can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference. We can change the color. We can change, through God's love, someone or something. So I pray for us all that we might think of those things that we might do. How might we show the love of God through our actions each and every day? For God calls each of us, however young, however old we are, to serve and to love and to care. So we're going to sing together our next hymn, number 664, if you're following in a hymn book. Number 664, Lord, you call us to your service, each in our own way. And we'll sing it to that tune, Angel Voices. Please stand if you're able to sing together. Please do be seated. Kate and Janet are now going to come and offer our readings for us.
From the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant."
The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 13, reading verses 10 to 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you at the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing.
Before we think a little more about our readings, we're going to sing together number 713, if you're following in a hymn book. Number 713, "Show Me How to Stand for Justice." And I invite you to stand if you are able. Would you pray with me for a moment? Loving and gracious God, as we come to reflect upon your word of scripture, we pray that by your Spirit, you will give us open hearts and open minds, that we might experience the still small voice of your Spirit, that we may encounter you. And loving God, may the words I offer bring glory to your name. Amen. Friends, today we hear two accounts. We hear of Jeremiah's call to ministry, and we hear that wonderful story of a woman healed of her burden on the Sabbath of all days. Today I'm going to focus mostly on the passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah's call to ministry, his resistance, but also the agency of God in that calling and enabling and challenging Jeremiah. And through that, I believe God also calls us afresh and challenges us and encourages us to live as disciples in the world today. Jeremiah's words are probably ours in a different sense. Truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. Insert girl, woman, man, whichever. Jeremiah is reluctant to do what God is asking of him, and it's certainly a lot to ask. The message Jeremiah is called to convey is both difficult and unwelcome, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow. Not exactly a message that many of us would choose to share. For those of you who were in a church that were using the lectionary last week, we had lots of signs of the times and wind and scorching heat, which felt quite appropriate. And I was on my first Sunday back from sabbatical with the church that I serve in East Oxford. And it felt like I was saying, hello, friends, we're all going to die. The wind and the scorching heat. This message is not dissimilar. But Jeremiah is called also to share a message of building and planting. Yet still he says, I am only a boy. This is the excuse that he offers, perhaps a reasonable excuse, a natural human inclination not to see our own gifts, to offer an excuse when something feels beyond our abilities, our skills, or perhaps even we simply don't want to do that. I wonder, friends, what excuses do we find for things? You don't have to answer here, please. A rhetorical question. I'm sure none of you ever find excuses not to do things. I'm afraid I do sometimes. We say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have the right experience, I don't have time. No one told me this was against the rules when I made the rules. Excuses come in all shapes and sizes. Some reasonable, right, and proper, but others may prompt some incredulity. A well-known insurance company once published a few of the humorous excuses people had used when making a claim after a car accident. Here are a few examples. I collided with a stationary car coming the other way. In an attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a lamppost. Coming home, I drove into the wrong driveway and collided with a tree that I don't have. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. All rather dubious, I think. I'm sure most of us could come up with better excuses if needed. So we come to Jeremiah's calling, and as I've already said, it's not really surprising that Jeremiah doesn't feel up to the task that God is calling him to. Those tasks ahead of him are daunting: the Babylonian siege, the deportation of the peoples, an obtuse leadership that may sound familiar, feel-good prophets telling the people what they wanted to hear, open hostility to his message. I'm not sure that many of us would willingly have signed up to Jeremiah's task. Do we willingly stand up to the task of speaking out? In this text, God's charge to Jeremiah contains six verbs, four of which involve breaking down and deconstructing. And it is only after the way has been cleared that Jeremiah can build and plant, create and reconstruct. I wonder, how might Jeremiah's calling relate to the calling of the church and our own calling as disciples and people of God? We read in the text that God's claim on Jeremiah is from before his birth. God takes the initiative. Perhaps this is echoed in the life of the church and in the world we find ourselves in. One of my great heroines of the faith, St. Hildegard of Bingen, writing in the 1100s, said, "Even in a world that's being shipwrecked, remain brave and strong." A word for us in our world today, perhaps. It is helpful to remember that God takes the initiative in the ministry of the church. God does not wait for the church to make the first move. We as Methodists often speak of prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us, the divine grace that precedes human decision, can also helpfully be described as God at work before we even know it. God sees the needs of the world, the injustices, the anguish, the cruelty, and begins the process of change, even when we do not always perceive it ourselves. God takes the initiative to minister in the midst of suffering, not to cause or plan it. Jeremiah is called to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow. I would suggest that this perhaps is part of the calling of the church and us as individual disciples too. One that we don't like to reflect upon too often because it sounds destructive. We may not have the power to effect immediate change, but perhaps we have the power of persuasion. I think the church can embody this work of plucking up and pulling down by giving voice to truth that exposes the lies that we so often hear, by amplifying the voices of those who are disenfranchised in our society. When the church chooses to step outside of our own privilege, we can confront the injustices of society as Jeremiah did. We have a voice. It might be a small voice, it might be a whisper compared to others, but we have a voice to announce that racism and greed and homophobia and transphobia, misogyny and poverty, oppression, destruction of the planet and exploitation need uprooting, plucking up and pulling down in the world and in the church. How might we as disciples be empowered? How might we speak out and name the things that need overthrowing in our society and perhaps even in our churches? Do we sometimes abdicate our responsibilities? Can we be found to be making excuses? Hopefully not that an invisible car hit ours and then disappeared. Are we prepared to take risks together? Are we prepared to share a prophetic message as Jeremiah did, even if it is often difficult and unwelcome? Are we willing to accept the call, trusting in God's presence, equipping and guiding? Another of my heroines of the faith, St. Catherine of Siena, writing in the 1300s, wrote this, which seems to be very relevant for today. "We've had enough exhortations to be silent. cry out with 1,000 tongues. I see the world is rotten because of silence. I'd like to return to Jeremiah's initial statement just for a moment. Truly, I do not know how to speak. I am only a boy. Often when we are younger, we can be more passionate and enthusiastic about things, perhaps about our faith, our beliefs, and protesting against injustice. But to make a sweeping generalization, for which I apologize, perhaps sometimes our zeal dissipates as we get older. I've been pondering the question, what if each of us could recapture the passion and enthusiasm we had when we first came to know Jesus? Maybe we still live with that passion, and I'm sure many of us do, that passion and enthusiasm deep rooted in us. But maybe the passion has dwindled. If so, how might we reconnect with God? Can we recapture that passion, which can sometimes shift into cynicism because nothing seems to change? The other aspect of Jeremiah's denial of his worthiness for the task, I'm sure, resonates with many of us, as I alluded to at the beginning. It can be too easy to dismiss our own gifts and talents as not worthy of God or of each other. We can fall into comparing ourselves with those around us, saying, well, that person is far more qualified than I am. Yet, as we know, Scripture calls to mind again and again those who feel unqualified and unable, and the stories through generations of God's agency in using people in ways they could never have imagined. Friends, I ask, are we open to what God might be asking of us? Perhaps we might feel as if we're past it, or we've already contributed all we can, or we're too young. For some, a retirement from some forms of service are right and proper. Yet God is never done with us. Unlike in our consumerist, ableist culture, in God's kingdom we are never past it, too young or without worth. In my previous circuit in Kent, I met the most wonderful supernumerary minister, Brenda, who was physically not able to do very much anymore. Yet she knitted like a trooper. I've never seen anyone knit so much. She used to knit and send things abroad. She used to knit for the fellow residents of her care home. She used to knit and knit and knit. And she said, the things I can do, I can pray, I can knit, and I can talk till my tongue falls out. God isn't done with me yet. So friends, I wonder, what are we able to offer? We are presented with a choice, I think, from this reading of Jeremiah. Will we choose to make an excuse? Or will we choose again to offer what we can in the service of our God? Will we fall into collusion in silence? Or will we cry out for justice with 1,000 tongues? So I conclude with a blessing which is attributed to the Franciscan community. Let us pray. May God bless us with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may seek truth boldly and love deep within our hearts. May God bless us with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of peoples, so that we may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all people. May God bless us with the gift of tears to shed with those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all they cherish, so that we may reach out our hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we really can make a difference in the world, so that we are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen. I'm going to invite us just to spend a moment or two in quiet as we process what we've heard, as we ask God to speak to us and through us. We'll spend a minute or two in quiet before we sing our next hymn. Loving and gracious God, by your Spirit, may the words we have heard, may the words your voice has spoken to us take root in our hearts. And in this week, may we know your presence calling us on. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We sing together our next hymn, number 696. If you're following in a hymn book, number 696, For the Healing of the Nations. We stand as we're able to sing together. Please do be seated. John is now going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, John.
At the end of each section of the prayers, there'll be a short silence for our own prayers, and then at the end of the silence, there will be the bidding, Living Lord, and the response is, Hear our prayer. Let us pray together. As we recognise that we're all at different stages of our life's journey, we come to you, Lord, with our prayers for others and ourselves. We pray for those starting a new stage of their life's journey. We pray for those receiving the results of their exams over these weeks, and that you will guide them as they make decisions about the future. And we pray for those who have and will come to work and study in Oxford at universities, colleges, and institutions over the coming months. Help us all to provide a safe space for those in our families, our church, and our community to help them think through what God is calling them to do. Living Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those coping with strain and pressure, for those living in difficult family relationships, and those with stressful jobs or voluntary roles where it is not possible to find easy answers. We pray for those who are struggling financially and desperately worried about how they will cope over the coming months. And we pray for those lives that have been changed suddenly by unexpected events, those who have lost their job, and those facing life after the loss of a loved one, or a change in or loss of an important relationship. Living Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and for each other within our congregation today, and those who work or visit the church throughout the coming week. As you promised when you called Jeremiah, give us words to say when we need them, especially when we stand up for justice and equality, when talking with friends, colleagues, or the wider community. Living Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for those in the wider world who are in need. We bring to you those who face war and conflict in their country and for their leaders. And we pray for and that you will give courage to those who speak out against war and violence. We pray for people who do not have enough food to eat or enough money to buy the food their families need. We remember especially countries in East Africa who are facing famine after widespread drought, failed harvests, and shortages of food, and increasingly high prices on the international market. Living Lord, hear our prayer. And we now say together the Lord's Prayer in the modern format. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, John. Friends, we come to our final hymn. During the hymn, an offertory will be taken. If you have come prepared, then that's wonderful. But if you haven't, please don't worry. A plate will circulate amongst us, and we will receive that offering of our gifts and the gifts of ourselves at the end of our hymn. We sing together number 706, if you're following in a hymn book. Number 706, Longing for Light. We wait in darkness. We stand as we're able to sing together.
Thank you. bringing back just a little of all that you bless us with. We pray that you would take these, our gifts, and us, your gifted people, and use us for your glory wherever you may call us. Amen. And a blessing. May the Holy One of Hope, who created us in the divine image, send us out. Let us go to be God's heartbeat of hope in our communities. Jesus, who redeems us, send us out. Let us go to bring healing and hope in our broken world, to cry out against injustice with a thousand tongues. The Holy Spirit, who calls us to be God's people, travel with us and inspire us by her love. May we go to